The Positively Wolfy Podcast. Unqualified commentary on allegedly real news. The Positively Wolfy Podcast. Hello and welcome to the Positively Wolfy Podcast. They call me Mr. Positivity Wolfy T. You can follow me on Twitter at PositivelyWolf1. And if you want to email the show, you can reach us at PositivelyWolfy@comcast.net. On today's show, we're going to discuss a Bible story, maybe, Mars Needs Moms, and Ragnar Strikes Again. I'm joined once again by my co-host, Brother Clint.
Testify. What's up, everybody?
I should mention this because I haven't mentioned it in a while. We do have merch for the Positively Wolfy Podcast, but the link has changed. Teespring has changed its name to Spring, and they changed their URL, and I think I screwed up. I think while they're transitioning, I went in there and all of my items had been deactivated, and so I tried to reactivate them and my store was gone. So I tried to create a new store with the same name, and it seemed to let me do it, except for it kept putting a number after the name. And I did it like two or three times. So it's slightly different. Let me see if I can get at it. It's in the show notes. So the new URL is positivelywolfy-3.creator-spring.com. Because that's so easy to remember.
So easy. I already got it memorized.
So I have it updated in the show notes. Also, if you follow me on Twitter, I have the link tree in my my Twitter bio, which has all the links to my, well, obviously you're already on my Twitter, but it's got links to my Twitter, the merch store, and then a bunch of other podcast apps that you can listen to it. There's direct links on that link tree to each of the podcast apps if you want to, you know, find out where you can listen to it. So
damn Teespring. They got the WWE treatment and then they lost their first name.
I don't get it. They keep wanting me to do digital items, and I'm not sure. I haven't done any of those yet, but yeah, I don't know what that would entail, to be honest. I haven't really added anything.
Put an NFT out there.
I think that's kind of what it is, but like, I don't know. I don't know if anybody would be interested in something like that. If you are, let me know. I could probably throw something together. But it's
probably Photoshop his head on Norbit's head so he could hang out with Rashbusha.
How you do it? I know you you enjoyed last week. I tweeted some videos out of what we had mentioned on the or maybe it was the previous episode where we're talking about the woman who killed her husband with her butt.
Oh my gosh.
There were some Norbit seeds that I thought were pretty relative to that story.
Yeah, I was pretty close. Yeah, I think that's what a normal day looked like for that couple when they're not fighting.
I think because there was the one where they were just in bed and he was you know like, oh, I need my space, and then she just rolls over on top of him. But then there's the other one where it's like right after they're married, they have a montage of them getting ready to have sex. And they're doing all the cosplay. And I think my favorite
some guys pay good money for that.
Yeah, right. I think my favorite one was Norbit was a police officer and Rasputia was like a burglar. She's got like the eye mask on. She runs across the room and Norbit's pointing his toy gun at her And he's like, freeze. And she jumps and takes him onto the bed, and the bed breaks, and he's getting crushed. And he goes, 187, officer down. So, yes, and another reason to follow me on Twitter. So once I'll throw some, if we talk about stuff on the episode,
if you don't have enough Norbit in your life, follow Wolfie on Twitter.
I did post the science clip again, because there was a article about Anthony Fauci still telling people that if he personally is criticized, that is people criticizing science. So he did the, that's not science. I said it was science, goddammit.
That's how they feel, the MAGAs feel about Trump. If you criticize him, you're criticizing God.
So bad. Well, speaking of God, I mentioned our first article might be related to a Bible story. We'll see how much we paid attention in our Sunday school growing up.
But I was thinking Pinocchio, actually.
I was going back and forth, but like, I don't know. We'll see once we get into the article. Like, I think they're kind of the same story, you know, Pinocchio and the Bible story, but we'll see. As you're about to hear some unqualified commentary on allegedly real news. Now, I don't know if these are actual events. You can never tell with the mainstream media whether it's real or fake news, but we'll figure it out as we go along.
I think if there's absolutely no names in there, it's just made up. It's just a dream they had, and they're like, I'm going to put this in the New York Post tomorrow.
We've had a few of those, mostly medical related. Like they're like, a patient went to the doctor and had these symptoms, and like they don't have any like specifics on who the doctor was, who the patient was, where the hospital was that they went. Like no witnesses, like nobody, they don't interview anybody. It's like, you just wrote this off the top of your head. Like this is your like pitch to Hollywood.
It's got to be so easy being a writer these days.
It even helps. What helps to bonify it even more is if you can get a tweet about it, and then you're gold. That's your source.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, first person source directly from them.
I also like the ones that where there'll be somebody will do an interview, and then somebody else will report on that interview, and then we'll have a story that's reporting on the second report of what the first person was told by the source. like
6 degrees of separation in the news these days.
Like this guy told ABC News this per the story by CBS News.
I saw old boy had his hot dog in his hand till he got shot, and he went pow, ran and got my pelly pal. Well,
let's get into our first article though. It's from NBC News, so it must be real. NBC, they've never lied.
Brian Williams was probably there too. Yeah, I was there. I was on scene for the report.
I almost died.
I was actually, but I won't spoil it. I won't say the next line.
So the headline is, commercial lobster diver survives terrifying moments inside whale's mouth. And then there's a quote, a humpback whale tried to eat me, Michael Packard said. I am very bruised up, but have no broken bones. Which is like Samuel Jackson and Deep Blue Sea. They ate me. A fucking shark ate me.
Could you imagine getting swallowed by a fucking whale? Like, there's not too many animals that are like big enough to like swallow us like that. A whale is probably one of the, if not only ones that could do it.
And I think humpbacks are one of the biggest whales out there too.
I think so too, yeah.
But that's weird. Like, why would he, like, we'll have to read the article about this, but like, Was he just out there in the ocean and the whale just came up with its mouth open? And
well, let's see if he fell off the boat or something like that. Because what was that one? Extreme Catch or those guys that worked off Alaska? They were fishermen, right?
Oh, the Deadliest Catch.
Deadliest Catch. Yeah, I don't watch it. So, I mean, out on the sea, if they're in a storm, it gets pretty wild. So, I mean, it's possible he got bumped off the deck and the whale was kind of nearby and saw him.
Maybe. Let's get into the article then. A commercial lobster diver cheated death after nearly being swallowed by a humpback whale off the coast of Cape Cod, Massachusetts on Friday. And then Sheriff Brody says, Mayor, we need to shut the beaches down now. And the mayor says, no, we can't shut the beaches down. We need those summer dollars.
I'm going to write a law against shutting down the beach.
That was my favorite part of Jaws, was the mayor. He's like, we can't shut down the beaches. Then we lose the summer dollars, and we need those summer dollars. He said it like 5 times. It was hilarious. And I think he had like a sport coat with lobsters on it or some shit. It was very
authentic. That sounds about right. Yeah.
Like 5 people get eaten by sharks on his beaches. He's like, it's fine. You don't need to.
I wonder what political party he would have been part of.
He was probably at the Watergate Hotel a couple years later, you know.
Yeah, right.
Michael Packard survived a harrowing half minute inside the whale's mouth before the mighty ocean mammal spit me out, he wrote on a Provincetown community Facebook page. Oh, it must be true then. He wrote it on Facebook. The humpback whale tried to eat me, Packard 56 wrote. I was in his closed mouth for about 30 to 40 seconds before he rose to the surface and spit me out. I'm very bruised up, but I have no broken bones. And he also assumed the whale's gender.
Yeah, you know, we were kind of talking about this before we started. Like, this article was produced by a ton of different sources, and I guarantee they all just went to this Facebook page. Like, we were just talking about writers just taking a tweet. Like, I bet nobody even called this guy. They're like, well, fuck it, he made this a public post, we're gonna spray this everywhere.
Well, that's news these days. The news isn't that the event happened. The news is that everybody is saying that it happened.
Yeah.
Like,
the news is about the news sources being full themselves, be like, hey, look what I found.
Well, I like that too. I don't know if they'll do it in this article, but I like when the journalists make themselves part of the story. Those are some of my favorite stories. It's like when the journalist is like, I asked this guy a question and he said something mean to me, and now I'm crying and I don't know what to do because he was so mean to me. It's like, dude, you're not the story. Stop writing right about yourself.
Yeah.
Nobody gives a shit.
I don't remember Dan Rather ever saying shit like that, or any of those old time, like, big, you know, reporter guys.
Well, Dan Rather also got fired for not fact checking his stories either.
Yeah, that'll happen.
And then, you know, like we said, Brian Williams, he was in a helicopter that got shot at, but really wasn't.
Right, right.
I forget. Some of the other ones probably got the same deal. But, like, I don't know when it turned to where, like it was more important to, like, just be, like, sensational versus right.
Oh, God. Probably almost 10 years ago now. I think it's when people start being really woke, to be honest.
Well, I think part of that. But, like, even... Have you ever seen the movie Network? Because that came out in like 1970, and that was like the same shit. Like, the kind of the basis of the movie was that they brought in like a new station director, and like the news department was always like, just like, it was just there. Like it didn't have any like metrics or anything. Like it was just all about reporting the news accurately. And then this dude comes in, he's like, well, the news needs to bring in ratings. Otherwise they're not, you know, pulling their weight financially, and we can't afford to have them not pulling their weight financially. So, and I think what they end up doing is like one of the old timers at the network fucking starts going nuts and starts talking to God and shit. And so they put him on TV as the news.
Oh gosh.
Just to bring up ratings. And that's kind of been the format for many years now in mainstream media.
Sounds like Anchorman 2, actually, where they go to the 24-hour news cycle and they gotta, you know, make money around the clock.
So yeah, I mean, I guess like even though it's been like, because CNN started in the early 90s, and it kind of sprung out. Well, I suppose CNN was around or before the OJ trial, but like a bunch of the other networks went 24 hours because of OJ.
Yeah, I think the 90s is when it went to 24 hours. I think they went off air, you know, for about 5 or 6 hours every night, right? So, yeah.
So like at that point, they started needing like enough stories to fill the time. And I think that's where they started kind of coming up with this bullshit news just to fill the time. And
it's all opinion based now.
Yeah, because, now it's not, they don't even try to be news now.
No, they try to be entertainment, and opinions can't be, you know, sued upon because, you know, they're not stating them as facts. You know, they can go back and say, oh, this guy's wrong. You know, it's just his opinion.
Even though they present themselves as journalists speaking the truth.
At least we're honest here at the PWP. You know, we say we're unqualified and we don't tell you to take anything literally, or, you know, we're not bringing you life-threatening news that you need to act upon. This is all entertainment. 100%. No spin or anything.
Well, some of these things might be life-threatening. Like, don't go swimming off the coast of Cape Cod when there's big-ass whales out there.
That's true. But we kind of stay in the common sense lane. Like, we'll say it, but, you know, it's kind of implied.
But we have no expertise. Like we're not like Dan Rather, where we're pretending to be reputable and know what we're talking about.
Yeah, definitely not. Yeah.
We admitted off the top, I didn't go to school for journalism. So
we're just, as Dan Lebatard would say, a couple gas bags here, shooting the shit.
Pretty much. Oh, what an apt description. let's go back to the article. In his post, he also thanked first responders from Provincetown for pulling him out of the water. The father of two boys, ages 12 and 16, returned home to his family Friday afternoon after being released from Cape Cod Hospital with a dislocated knee and soft tissue damage, Packard said. He told NBC Boston he was lobster diving in about 45 feet of water when he just felt his... When he just felt his truck hit me, I can't read.
This.
He told NBC Boston he was lobster diving in about 45 feet of water when he just felt this truck hit me and everything went dark. He initially thought he had been attacked by a shark, which is common in area waters, but then realized he could not feel any teeth and wasn't in any pain. Oh boy. I bet you this is another Seinfeld reference. There was an episode of Seinfeld where they went to the Hamptons and Kramer was poaching the lobster traps. And then he brought lobster back, and somebody that they were staying with got all offended because like their dad was made a living catching lobster. And Kramer's just going to steal them out of the traps.
It was probably his dad's traps.
And he also his like Jerry's girlfriend was she was like kosher, like she kept kosher, so she couldn't eat shellfish. I guess like part of being kosher is you can't eat shellfish, but like she wanted to try it, and Kramer made it a personal mission of his to make sure she didn't eat any of the lobster, and even though she really wanted it, like he went out of his way. And then this is also the one where she walks in on George while he's changing after he was in the pool and he's got the shrinkage. And so George is looking for a way to get back at her. And he tried to walk in on her while she was changing, and he mistimed it, and he didn't get a look. And so he ends up getting revenge by putting lobster in her eggs in the morning.
Oh no.
Which is like a horrible thing to do to somebody who's trying to keep religious practices. But I bet you this is the type of guy who would go, like, he is diving in 45 feet water.
45 feet of water. Is that like what lobster diving is? Like, he just dives to the bottom where his traps are and he's, you know, bringing them up? Or
like, does he have traps, or is he just like picking them up with his hands?
I don't know. How did he realize it was a whale then? You know, did he look back after he got spit out? Like, when you're in the mouth, like, and you didn't see it coming. Well, first of all, how do you not see a whale coming? And and then if you've never been inside a whale's mouth, and it, you're just, you know, like, that's your second guess, shark and then the whale? Like, I don't know.
Well, he said he didn't feel teeth, so I don't know. I guess it was just dark surroundings, and he just assumed he was in a whale's mouth.
The whales don't have teeth. I swear in Pinocchio they had teeth when they swallowed Pinocchio.
Well, maybe like the mouth is so big that he was just like laying under the tongue or something, or on top of the tongue, and the whale didn't like swallow yet.
Yeah.
Or maybe wedged between the teeth and the, you know, the gums and the cheek or something.
The dude probably tasted like shit, and the whale's like, fuck this. Spit him out.
Maybe he shit himself.
I bet. Yeah.
And this is, maybe he just shit himself out there, and this was the story he came up with to the cover up.
Yeah, I don't know. I bet he, maybe what actually happened is he fell out of his mistress' apartment window when her boyfriend came home, and that's how he dislocated the knee and got bruises. And he had to come up with a good story. Oh, I got ate by a whale. No, I didn't fall out of a window. No, definitely not.
Well, here's some quotes from him. And then I said, oh my God, I'm in the mouth of a whale with its mouth shut. Packer told NBC Boston, adding that he struggled to find his breathing regulator while inside the whale's mouth. Am I just going to run out of air and suffocate? Is it going to swallow me? This is how you're going to go, Michael. This is how you're going to die, in the mouth of a whale, Packard thought to himself. I bet he actually verbally said, oh my God, I'm in the mouth of a whale with its mouth shut.
Yeah. That's the first thing I always said. Oh my God, I'm in the mouth of a whale. With its mouth shut.
But the whale eventually surfaced, shook its head, and spit him out. I just got thrown out of his mouth into the water. There was just white water everywhere. Packard, who was initially rescued by his crewmate in the surface boat, said. Charles Stormy Mayo, a senior scientist and whale expert at the Center for Coastal Studies in Provincetown, told the Cape Cod Times that such human whale encounters are rare. Humpbacks are not aggressive, and Mayo thinks it was an accidental encounter while the whale was feeding on fish, likely sand lance.
What if the whale saw this article and was like, damn, I was just trying to help him get back to the surface. Like, it was down here drowning. Thanks for nothing.
In a shocking turn of events, this whale has developed a taste for human blood. It has gone rampaging on the beaches of Cape Cod.
Now he's looking for revenge.
It is beached itself in a sneak attack plan to get
this
people
little Rambo it. Headband on, tied it in the back.
It's backed itself into a cave underwater and lift it, you know, sat there with its mouth open, like on like the old cartoons and shit.
Right.
I know you never really watched The Whitest Kids You Know, but this kind of reminds me of a skit they did where one of the guys was a kid in school, and the teacher was asking what everybody did on summer break. And he goes, "I teached a whale to jump out of its tail."
To jump out of its tail?
Yeah. And the teacher's like, "You did not teach a whale to jump out of its tail." I'm like, "Yes, I did." And so the teacher's like, "All right, I'm sick of you lying. All right, prove it." And like they go to the aquarium, but there's no whales. And then like they go down to Florida and there's no whales. And then they go to Mexico. Eventually they end up in the middle of the ocean in a little dinghy. And he gets a whale to jump out of its tail. The teacher's like, "All right, you're telling the truth. Okay, fine."
That's hilarious.
It's such a dumb skit, but like it's hilarious.
Oh my god. I didn't watch that show a lot, but what was that one? The Grapist? Was that it?
Yeah,
oh
the Grapist is hilarious. They were testing a grape soda commercial. Or like some executives were reviewing a grape soda commercial that a marketing company had made for them. And there was a mascot called the Grapist that breaks into little kids' rooms at night and grapes them in the mouth. Like in the commercial, he just busts through the wall and he just like goes, "Wake up, kids. I'm gonna rape you in the mouth." The kids go running, screaming down the hallway, and he's giving chase. And they pause it, and the one guy's like, "It sounds like he's gonna rape them." And the marketing guy's like, he's like just like offended, like, "What? How is a grape gonna rape? Like, get your mind out of the gutter." He's like, "Why was that little girl screaming?" The dude's like, "I mean, look at her. Look what she's wearing. She's just asking to get graped. It's purple." Like, what?
That show was so funny. At least the parts that I saw. I don't know why I didn't watch it more. I don't think I watched a lot of TV when that was on.
I mean, it's like they had some misses, but like I think there's more hits than misses. A lot of it's on YouTube. Like you can get in a real good rabbit hole just watching Whitest Kids You Know skits. And they're all like, I don't know, 2 to 5 minutes long. So like you can go through a whole bunch of them.
Yeah, that was kind of the golden age of those skits. Kids in the Hall or running, what was it? Strangers with Candy.
Yeah,
there's a few of those shows that were out at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, The Whitest Kids You Know is probably my favorite of those. The Grapist one and the John Williams one are probably my favorites, but they got a ton that are almost as good.
Right.
The John Williams one, I think I've tweeted the link out on Twitter a couple times.
That's one where he's like, "No."
it's the composer John Williams, and it's him trying to write a love theme for the Star Wars Indiana Jones crossover movie. He's trying to write a love theme for when Short Round marries an Ewok. And he's just going around going, "Bup, bup, 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 bup." And he finally, in the middle of the night, he gets the inspiration to write the perfect song. And he wakes his wife up and he says, "Remember this." And he asks her about it in the morning because he can't remember what it was. And she does something completely different. And he just screams, "No!" Like right in her face. And then he challenges her to a songwriting contest. And her song is so bad that it makes him literally throw up.
That's classic.
He makes their son Sherwin Williams judge it. Oh. Well, I think we could take a quick break here. You can listen to our anchor ad and then maybe queue up some of those whitest cues you know for after the podcast, because you're going to enjoy them. All right, welcome back. Our next story is from the New York Post, and the headline is, humans could make babies on Mars after new sperm discovery, study says.
Who was the person they sent to Mars to go jack one off to, you know, hey, we want to test some sperm in Mars. Can you help us out?
Or maybe the sperm is already up there.
They sent it on that rover that just landed about a year ago.
Like the rover. Well, no, I'm saying like the rover discovered the sperm. There's just like sperm deposits everywhere on Mars. It's the dad from Mac and Me.
Maybe all they have is sperm whales on Mars. Tying back to our first article.
It's like when South Park sent Wilsiak to the moon. The whale from the aquarium. They sent it to the moon because the aquarium guys tricked them into thinking it was a sentient being from outer space.
Oh. I don't remember that one, I guess. Damn.
Oh, I'm surprised you don't remember that.
I kind of remember the aquarium, but I didn't know they sent the whale to the moon.
Because they went to all the different countries with space programs to see if they could put it on their rocket or, you know, their spaceship. And they end up going to the Mexican one because they're like charging like $59 or something.
Right.
See, fly. Yeah, eventually it gets to the moon. I should mention this. I forgot this on our first article, but kind of before we get too deep into this, I did see another article about that dude who got stuck in the whale's mouth that said he was in a plane crash in 2001 that he survived.
That's wild.
So I think he's full of shit. I think he's just making all of it up.
Speaking of plane crashes, you know, when we were still in the office, we used to watch, NBC in the morning, their morning show. I can't think of the name right now. But anyways, they had this, they showed it a few times, this plane crash. It landed in, like, Illinois, I think it was. Unfortunately, this dude's grandparents died, or his grandpa died that was flying the plane. But this, like, 16-year-old, when it landed, talking rolled out the fucking plane. Oh my God. It survived. So they catch it right as it's like, you know, right as he's rolling out in this crowd of people around it, and he just gets up and starts walking away.
That's like in Commando. Have you seen Commando with Schwarzenegger?
No.
There's a, so like the story is, like he's like the last of some like elite commando group or whatever, and his daughter gets kidnapped by some South American dictator, some fake country, and like they're gonna bring him down with them, like they kidnap him, but like on the plane over there he kills the guy who's like bringing him with, and then like he gets down into the cargo hold and into the landing gear. And as the plane's taking off, he just jumps out of the landing gear into like a marshy area. And that's gotta be like a couple thousand foot drop. And he just hits right. Like some wet spot. And then he gets up like nothing happened, just dusts himself off. Yeah. And then he goes on a killing rampage.
That's perfect.
It's such a good movie. I love that movie.
I just saw on Twitter the other day, some lady fell 2 miles and survived. No parachute.
Oh, my God. You should send me that story if you can find it.
I'll look for it. I think it was New York Times, so it's potential it's behind a paywall. But
oh, I hate those paywalls. There's once in a while I'll find a story on some place like that, and it's like, well, what are the odds I still got free views by the time we talk about it?
Yeah. Right, yeah. Unfortunately, clearing cash and cookies doesn't seem to get around those anymore. They must be smarter these days.
They probably do it by IP address.
Yeah, probably.
God, what else? Didn't somebody skydive without a parachute a couple years ago and survive? Like, I think,
Oh,
I don't know if
that was a
there's
stunt.
something to
Yeah.
catch
Well, they
on.
had a huge ass net. That was like an Evel Knievel type thing. It wasn't Evel Knievel, but it was like a whole event. They had a whole hour lead up. They're like, oh, this guy's, done all this training, this and that. Like, he dove from like 25,000 feet or something really high. Like, I think normal skydiving is only like 10,000, or it's like, not as high. But he had like five people guide him down into the net, though, at least. So, I mean, all those people had their parachutes, but this guy didn't. So he just kept going and he fell on his back. I would imagine that would hurt like a motherfucker, though.
I don't know how much give the netting had, but like
Oh, it was a lot. I think it was a good, a couple of stories off the ground, so he could, suck in. But wouldn't that break your back or your leg or something like that if you bent wrong?
I don't know. I guess they would have to really work on the physics on that, because at some point you hit terminal velocity where like gravity only keep you accelerating for so long, and then it's just at some point it hits its maximum, and then you're just like at a steady rate of speed the rest of the way.
Yeah.
And then obviously like wind resistance will probably slow you down a little bit too, but. I mean, you gotta like be perfect with that shit. Like, no mistakes with your math. Like, you can't.
To be honest, I think that one wasn't as bad as the guy who jumped from the edge of the atmosphere in the spacesuit. You remember that Red Bull event?
I was
'Cause
gonna
that dude was
mention that.
spinning out of control for like 3 miles. Like, he must have threw up like 10 times.
He was wearing like a spacesuit too, because there was like no air up there.
Yeah, and then they had the little kind of predator view where it was just like a heat signature of him, and you could see his body's fitting, like it was so far away.
That would suck so bad.
I don't know how he strained it out. I thought that guy was gonna die, like, 'cause, like, if you open your parachute, like, it'll probably whiplash you so bad you snap your neck or you do
Yeah.
something the wrong way,
Crazy. I can't even imagine doing skydiving. I would probably pass out.
At this point, I don't know if I would do it. Maybe when I was younger, I might have, but when I'm in a good mood, like I'm ready to go do it, like anything, like I would probably have a lot of fun. But on a normal day, probably not. I'd probably chicken out, to be honest.
You might be up for it when you're on the ground, but once you get up there, it's a different story.
Depends how the adrenaline hits. Sometimes it's like, yeah, let's do it, let's do something stupid, and other times it's just like, anxiety, adrenaline, like, oh God, what did I
Well, I guess you can go jerk off on Mars or something. I don't know,
do? Could you imagine if they remade that Martian movie with Matt Damon about him jerking off instead of trying to make plants grow?
I never saw that movie, but yeah, I could it's a
Yeah,
different.
they left without him. I forget what happened. He got caught in a storm. I don't know. They probably could have waited for him, but it wouldn't have made a movie, So they had to get him there by himself. It was kind of like the Martian version of Castaway, but he had his little tent, and I don't know if he had water, but he was trying to like make the soil fertile to grow the plants or the seeds that they had brought up. So,
Gives a whole new meaning to the word seeding.
yeah.
We seed the soil of Mars.
Instead of seeds and soil and watering equipment, it'd just be a bunch of Playboys or a tablet with a bunch of porn downloaded on it.
Yeah, I don't know if Playboy gets the job done these days.
Not a magazine. Yeah, no. Everybody's imagination's gone.
Well, I think. I don't know. At one point, they said they were going to stop doing the centerfolds and the pictorials, but I think they went back to it. But I don't know like how diverse their models are these days.
Yeah, I don't know. I haven't really heard anything about Playboy since Hefner died.
I don't even know if they still. I think they still run it.
I'm pretty sure they do.
But, yeah. Anyways, let's get into the article. There's no need to discover life on Mars, not one we could possibly make our own. I mean, I don't think that negates the need to discover life, but okay. Scientists have discovered that sperm can potentially survive on Mars for hundreds of years, meaning that humans could possibly reproduce on the red planet in the future. These discoveries are essential for mankind to progress into the space age, lead research author Professor Sayaka Wakayama. That sounds like a porn name almost.
So,
Sayaka Wakayama. A scientist at Japan's University of Yamanashi told the Daily Mail of the study.
How can sperm last for 100 years? Like, it lasts for technically 7 days on Earth, but I mean, like, does it just stay like a puddle there or something? Like, it's just...
Why? I don't know. I assume they mean that they'd have to freeze it. You know, like at a sperm bank.
Yeah, but couldn't they just create that atmosphere from Earth? I mean, it's an artificial atmosphere. Like, what does it matter if it's on Earth or Mars? It's still inside whatever that's preserving it for that long.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe the article will tell us.
But if you're doing it the old-fashioned way, I mean, like, it's right in there. Yeah, if you're trying to get the job done, like, it's not seeing the light of day at all.
However, no humans pleasured themselves in the name of science, per the research published Friday in the journal Science Advances. Instead, scientists studied the effects of radiation on a batch of mouse sperm that had been freeze-dried and stored aboard the International Space Station for 6 years. I became an astronaut to study freeze-dried mouse sperm for 6 years in space. But your parents are proud of you.
Yeah. Wouldn't you love to be on the shift that takes care of that section of the space station?
Who's milking the mice? Like, whose job is that to jerk off the mice?
All right, you got the mouse sperm station, and you got the horse sperm, and you got the whale sperm. What if the space station is just a bunch of sperm banks where all these different species? Like, they're really up there for no other reason other than just playing with the goop.
Oh boy. I'm gonna talk about the Wise Kids You Know again, because there's a skit where a farmer is trying to get the sperm out of his stud horse. And it's just not happening. And this other guy shows up. He's like, well, did you show him a picture of a stegosaurus? He says, no, why would I do that? He's like, horses love stegosauruses. And so he puts a picture of a stegosaurus up there. And the horse just starts jizzing gallons of sperm. And just like buckets and buckets of it. And it's just like spraying on the wall and stuff.
It doesn't even make any sense. It's not a dinosaur. Like, it gets horny for a dinosaur. Oh my god,
that's why it's so funny.
You know, we should hashtag that one. It should be like hashtag WYKYK, right? No,
WKUK
IKYK. I think. Why does kids, you know, if you know, you know. I don't think I got enough letters, but that's what it's, you know, supposed to be.
Oh, it's so funny. Oh my god.
That's how the Donkey Sex Show donkey came too. It was just spraying everywhere. Gross.
I don't want to spoil it. Have you seen Bad Trip yet, with the Eric Andre movie?
No, I'm not gonna watch that one.
I hate to spoil it, so spoiler alert if you're interested. There's a, so it's like a hidden camera, like half the movie is like hidden camera pranks, but like there's a story that ties everything together. And there's one part where they go to a zoo And at the zoo, Eric Andre's character finds out that the gorilla cage is unlocked. So he goes in it to get a good selfie. And while he's taking a selfie, he drops the phone and he's bending over to pick it up. And the gorilla just fucking starts raping him from behind.
Oh, God.
And he's like, he's really giving it to him. And then, like, he finally gets away and gets out. And then he realizes that he forgot his phone. So he goes in to pick up his phone and he's like on his hands and knees. And the gorilla starts face fucking him. Huh. And then he finishes all over his face. It's like one of the funniest things I've seen in a long, long time.
Oh, my God. It's like I want to see that, just, you know, understand, but I don't want to see it. I've seen Eric Andre drop his pants more time than any man I think ever. And I just refuse to watch any of his shit anymore.
He does do that in this movie. Like, the first scene is he's working at a car wash and he gets the vacuum gets a hold of his coveralls and he's not wearing anything underneath.
Of course not. I mean, that's his whole gimmick, is run around with a dick out. I don't know what kind of fetish he's into, but I don't know how he doesn't get arrested for half that shit.
He did get his dick stuck in a Chinese finger trap with Lil Rel. I read after the fact that, so they went into a barber shop and, like, apparently there was another barber shop in the area that they were supposed to go in that they had cameras set up in, but the one they went into wasn't, like, ready. Like, they weren't ready for it.
Uh-huh.
They didn't have any security. And the guy pulled a knife on them.
Because he dropped his pants in there?
No, because they went in there with their dicks connected with a Chinese finger trap, asking for help to get loose.
Oh, my God.
Like, those are two of the funniest things I've seen in movies in a long, long time. I'm like, I can't believe how far you guys went with this shit.
Yeah, right?
This is nuts.
And I thought back in the day, Borat and that fucking mankini was bad.
Right?
God.
Although so I take hairy. That over, I would take that over his fucking Trump suit any day.
Trump suit? Oh, I haven't seen the new one. Yeah, I assume that's the new one.
He dresses up like Trump at the fucking
I could imagine.
Republican convention or something. It's not funny. So that was a bit of a tangent, but it relates because we're talking about sperm. Experts previously believed that space radiation would destroy sperm, rendering breeding impossible or even causing cancer. Some people would argue that getting pregnant is just like having cancer.
In a way, yeah. I mean, it just multiplies and multiplies till it pops out and starts walking on its own. Feed me.
I'm going to stop right there before we get too over our heads with that stuff. However, new analysis revealed that the rodent reproductive fluid was perfectly healthy after its interstellar sojourn. Even subjecting the spunky stuff to X-rays on Earth didn't affect fertility. Oh boy, New York Post. Many genetically normal offspring were obtained, said Wakayama, whose team estimates that freeze-dried semen could last aboard the ISS for up to 200 years. The SpaceX findings could prove a major step in our goal of becoming an interplanetary life form, something that scientists deem increasingly essential in light of dwindling resources, the Science Times reported. When the time comes to migrate to other planets, we will need to maintain the diversity of genetic resources, not only for humans, but also for pets and domestic animals, said Wakayama, of our intergalactic propagation plans.
Well, the one thing they don't say is that those mice that they, you know, made off of that sperm all came out like Pinky from Pinky and the Brain.
I mean, have they not seen the movie Total Recall? Like, do you know how many fucking freaks and...
Could you imagine if girls start getting the third titty and get all three implants for all three of them? You know how weird that'd be?
That's a deformity. There's all kinds of deformed people though. Or like Hank from Breaking Bad, what the fuck did he have over his eye? Like he just had the skin over his eye or whatever.
Hank?
Yeah.
Like in the show or are you talking about real life?
Dean Norris. No, on Total Recall.
Oh, God, he was in Total Recall. Must have been the original, right?
Yeah.
I don't remember. I don't remember.
He's down there with the chick with the three tits.
I gotta rewatch it. You know, I only can picture him from what he looks like in Breaking Bad. Like anything prior to that, I don't
he think looks pretty much the same, but he's got a bunch of shit on his face, like a skin condition. What was the dude's name that was like the leader of the mutants? But like he was just like on, he was just like a underdeveloped conjoined twin, but he like could read minds.
Watto,
yeah. Open your mind.
Oh yeah, open, I googled this mind. Picture. It looks like he's got a pussy in his forehead. But yeah, okay, now I see why I never recognized him. I mean, Jesus Christ, his whole face is like a prosthetic.
Yeah, looking back now, if you watch it now, you'll recognize him right away. But yeah, I don't know if I would have known who he was before Breaking. Like, I went to watch that before Breaking Bad, you know, and then watch Breaking Bad and be like, oh, it's that dude from Total Recall.
Yeah, I think Netflix has totally got me, like, to the point where if I see an actor I kind of like or it's been in a bunch of movies I like, you know, then I start looking at what all their movies are. And then I find other good movies to watch. And that's how I would have figured that out eventually, that Dean Norris was in Total Recall.
You know what's crazy is the guy that plays Mike on Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, he's in like every fucking 80s action movie that was ever made.
That's funny.
Like every one of them is like, oh, there's Jonathan Banks, but like he had hair back then, so like, and he was obviously like 30 years younger, so like,
right,
looks a little different. But like looking back, like, oh, he was in 48 Hours. He was in Beverly Hills Cop. He was in fucking what's that one? God.
Well, I mean, you could do that with Sam Jackson. I mean, he had so many bit roles until the Marvel movies, really. I mean, that's when he started really taking off.
I think Pulp Fiction was his big break, because that was,
oh well, that was, yeah,
Oscar nominated. But yeah, before that, like Goodfellas and True Romance and Do the Right Thing and like Juice, that was a good one.
Yeah.
Let's wrap the article up here. Sperm isn't the only thing that can possibly survive the vacuum of space for extended periods of time. Tardigrades, also known as water bearers, can reportedly live for 30 years without food or water and endure temperatures of 302 degrees Fahrenheit, leading researchers to deduce that these microscopic superheroes could survive on other planets as well. Didn't they do that on South Park where they created a bunch of, wasn't that Jimmy's science experiment?
Huh? It's not the Trapper Keeper you're thinking of, is it?
No, it was like the special ed science fair, and Jimmy's experiment was with the water bears. And then like the NFL owners showed up and like, we've fixed our attendance problem. And then they filled the crowd with water bears.
Maybe. I mean, it sounds familiar.
I think Cartman's girlfriend ended up drinking them because she was turning into Cartman.
I've never seen these water bears before. I clicked the article and it looks like straight out of a horror movie. Like, could you imagine if we sent these up to Mars and we're like, oh, they're microscopic on Earth, but they go to Mars and they're fucking like a fucking size of a moose or some shit?
Yeah, I don't, like, is it the only thing I know about them is that they were on South Park and they were the new NFL fans. They had like one human sitting there and then a bunch of bowls of water with microscopic water bears in it. And
that's great.
One guy's like, yeah, go Cowboys. Yeah. Like, we set a new attendance record of, you know, like 5 trillion water bears.
Right.
I feel like I had another reference to make about sperm on. Oh, yeah. God, what the fuck was I was going to reference something related to the hitman's wife's bodyguard. Because there was something about like sperm lasting forever.
Sam Jackson's sperm probably just is a puff of air, you know, at this point of his life.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, he's in his 70s and Selma Hayek is in her mid-50s. And like, part of the story in The Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard is that they want to have a baby. And I'm like, I mean, I can suspend my disbelief to a point, but...
Could you imagine being that kid? Like, I mean, like, Sam Jackson would be dead by the time you graduate, most likely. And then fucking your mom,
by the time you graduate kindergarten.
Yeah, but then, like, the mom, you know, would be, like, 70s, you know, by the time you're graduating high school. Like, I mean, you're not that far away from the nursing home.
Yeah, that's crazy. Like, I don't even know if she could physically... give birth. Like, you can't give birth, you can't get pregnant after menopause.
That's true, but we don't want to think about that about Selma Hayek because she's still super hot.
She does look pretty good still. I saw that movie. Like, the writers were like, what if Selma Hayek
they should make a second Banditas movie with Selma, Penelope, and then add in J-Lo, just because, you know, they're all old and hot still, like probably hotter than they ever been in their lives.
That's bad grandmas too, you know, the next generation, hot young Latina grandmas. You know that, you know, well, I don't want to stereotype them, but they'd probably be the bad great grandmas in their culture. You know, being in their early 50s.
Little Patronas.
That's the stereotype.
I guess that's godmother though.
The abuelas.
Yeah, that's right. I'm tired too.
The gran abuelas or whatever. Well, we should get going on our next article. The final article of the day comes from NBC News. The headline is 50,000 security disasters waiting to happen, : the problem of America's water supplies.
I mean, if you watched Die Hard, Four, I think, Live Free or Die Hard, you would already know this was a problem.
It's a fire sale. Or this is why everybody needs to go watch the movie Never Too Young to Die, because in that movie Gene Simmons is a hermaphrodite who is after his a floppy disk that will allow him to contaminate the water in the city of Los Angeles. So he can take over or something? I don't know. It's unclear.
Floppy disk means it's probably from Gene Simmons' prime. So.
Ragnar! His character's name is Ragnar. And he's going up against a young John Stamos, who is a collegiate gymnast whose father is a... His dad is played by George Lazenby, who was a one-time James Bond. And he plays a secret agent in the movie, and then he gets killed. And so John Stamos has to come in and fill his father's shoes and solve the crime or whatever, stop the plan.
Yeah.
Fucking Freddy Krueger's in there as one of the henchmen. Robert Englund, he's one of Ragnar's henchmen.
That's the only Freddy Krueger we really recognize. Although the remake was the Freddy, I can't think of the name off the top of my head who played it, but he was the runner-up to when Robert Englund got named Freddy back in the 80s.
Was he?
Yeah.
It was Rorschach, wasn't it, from The Watchmen?
Yeah, I think it is.
I forget what else he's done, but yeah. I never saw that remake. I've heard a lot of people take a dump on it.
You know, I didn't see a lot of the old Freddy movies, so I enjoyed it. You know, I'm not like a diehard fan, you know, of the franchise, but, you know, a lot of people that are fans of certain franchises don't like to see it remade, regardless of, you know, the quality of it.
Right.
But they never made any other ones, so maybe there's enough of a backlash. They're like, forget it.
I think so. I've only seen the first two in the series from the original series. The second one is allegedly a very thinly veiled gay metaphor, like we talked about last week with the Child's Play movies.
Yeah.
Which I don't think it's very thinly veiled, actually. I think it's pretty
well
odd.
Definitely we watched five Chucky movies last week here in my house. Seed of Chucky is definitely about trans, for sure.
Yeah.
Sometimes I feel like a boy, sometimes I feel like a girl. Oh, that's great, Glenn or Glenda. I'm trying to think of the other ones, you know, how they tie in.
Yeah.
The first three.
The only thing I could think of is that he's not allowed to reveal his true self to other people. Like, he can only reveal it to one person, and then, like, after that, like, I don't know, he's going to pretend like he's a doll.
Right. I guess, yeah, that makes sense. I love how everybody, like, is in such disbelief. Even when the cop sees it in the first movie, the second movie, like, the cop recanted his story. That doll didn't come alive. You're crazy.
The one that he...
And yeah, it, you know, the murders still keep happening, and they're just like, no, definitely not.
Like after he got, you know, stabbed in the car,
right?
After he put about six bullets in it. Let's get into the article. The sub headline is a quote. It says, "If you could imagine a community center run by two old guys who are plumbers." That's your average water plant, one cybersecurity consultant said. Let's see. On January 15th, a hacker tried to poison a water treatment plant that served parts of the San Francisco Bay Area. It didn't seem hard. That's what she said. The hacker had the username and password for a former employee's TeamViewer account, a popular program that lets users remotely control their computers, according to a private report compiled by the Northern California Regional Intelligence Center in February and seen by NBC News. After logging in, the hacker, whose name and motive are unknown and who hasn't been identified by law enforcement, deleted programs that the water plant used to treat drinking water. Well, the joke was on him because San Francisco's water is already heavily infected with human feces and discarded drug needles.
Terrible. You know, they're rich enough where they can literally just, you know, dump little bottles of Fiji water in there.
I would laugh if this was actually just fucking Never Too Young to Die Part 2 that we've been waiting on since like 1985. It's finally here. It's finally going to happen.
That's funny. Yeah, you know, it's scary because, you know, this isn't the first article I've seen like this where they're like, oh, it's such a security risk, our utilities, the electric, the water, this or that, right? And it's like waving these people down from Russia or China or wherever, in North Korea even, I'm sure, are trying. But it's like, please come. Please come, you know, hack us. Please, please.
I think we don't know what you're doing. It basically tells you how to do it.
Yeah.
Why did a former employee's login still work? Like, why are you not deactivating the logins after they're fucking fired or after they leave the the company.
Yeah, or, you know, was he still logging in each day so it didn't fucking, or every so often so it didn't expire after like 30 days or 45 days? Like,
I mean, that's sad when that's your state of security. But, God. Speaking of, you know, the Russians, you know, Joe Biden, he gave that list of 16 pieces of infrastructure that Putin is not allowed to hack, not allowed to attack, you know, cyber attack, which means he gave him a list of the 16 pieces of an infrastructure that he should attack first if he wants to take down America.
Exactly.
Like, what the fuck, dude? Or alternatively, you could look at it like he gave him permission to attack everything else.
Or it's like a trap, you know, trying to think positively here because it's the Positively Wolfie podcast. Is, you know, maybe it's a trap. Maybe we can track them if they try to hack these 16 places. And then that would be our excuse to, you know, hack 32 of theirs.
Oh, my God. Do you think Biden, like, is smart
and then
enough?
they'll find out the water in Russia is already contaminated and there's no point of what they're doing.
Do you think Biden's smart enough to set a trap like that? Like,
he might hire somebody that would come up with that idea.
Did he come up with that list himself or did somebody hand it to him? Like,
I think he just put his aviators on and someone was like, here, Joe, here's a list for you.
Then they weaken at Bernie's him into the meeting.
He's like, where's my camels? I need a cigarette.
Oh boy. Let's see. Back to the article. The hack wasn't discovered until the following day, and the facility changed its passwords and reinstalled the programs. God, who is working security at these places? No failures were reported as a result of this incident, and no individuals in the city reported illness from the water-related failures. The report, which did not specify which water treatment plant had been breached, noted. The incident, which has not been previously reported, is one of a growing number of cyber attacks on U.S. water infrastructure that have recently come to light. The Bay Area attack was followed by a similar one in Oldsmar, Florida, a few weeks later. And that one, which made headlines around the world, a hacker also gained access to a TeamViewer account and raised the levels of lye in the drinking water to poisonous levels. Why is there any lye in the drinking water? That seems like something that wouldn't be there.
Maybe they really wanted some lutefisk.
Isn't that what you use to dissolve dead bodies?
I don't know. Maybe.
An employee quickly caught the computer's mouse moving on its own and undid the hacker's change. Oh my God. So they basically just like took control of this guy's computer and he's like, wait a minute.
You know, their security is about as tight as that one UFC chick that keeps getting hacked at Blonde Fighter. What the hell is her name? Chikagian? Yeah. Oh my God, that guy was so hilarious.
Yeah, this UFC fighter kept liking like hardcore pornography tweets and then like somebody else hacked her and was tweeting from her account and he was like ripping her social media manager for making it too easy.
That's funny. Well, did you see them tweeting like, screw your two-factor authentication, we're back, it only took 30 minutes, da, da, da. And they were just commenting on all these posts.
Oh my God, I can't believe like how easy it, like why are they targeting her in the first place? But like secondly, like maybe just delete your account.
I mean, they had a couple articles of Trump's password being super easy for Twitter, too.
That's right. Yeah, some guy in, like, Denmark guessed it, and it was, like, just his campaign slogan, all in lowercase.
What a surprise.
This dude who's, like, the most powerful Twitter account in the world, and people just be, like, guessing his password. I was surprised, like, they... Well, I think the thing with that was, like, Twitter was, like they they were actually like assigning people specifically to catch people hacking into Trump's tweets. Whereas like everybody else, they don't give a shit.
Yeah, they were definitely doing a test, trying to see if they could get into Trump's account and other world leaders too, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think Twitter, yeah, they put extra security on Trump's account. Not that it was his choice, but like they found ways to make it more secure. But yeah, Caitlin Chookagian.
That's because he was using his iPhone still and not the White House secure one.
I thought they made fun of Obama for doing that too. And then
probably, I mean, Obama was the first one on social media or that used it effectively.
I think the argument was Trump was still tweeting from his personal account too. He wasn't using the official government account.
Right. Yeah.
Although I think they set it up where it would just automatically tweet the same thing on the other account.
I think most of it did, but not all. Not as crazy off the rails shit at like, you know, midnight.
Like the videos he would retweet at 2 a.m. with the people yelling white power. God. You gotta listen to the audio before you retweet it, Don.
Right. The problem is I think he did.
Oops. God. Anyways. Well, the Biden administration and the public are in the middle of a cybersecurity reckoning. Russian and Chinese spies have sneaked, what a weird word, into numerous federal government networks, sometimes sitting for months undetected. Criminals have hacked into practically every industry and extorted companies at will, including those that occupy important parts of U.S. supply chains. But of all the country's critical infrastructure, water might be the most vulnerable to hackers. The hardest in which to guarantee everyone follows basic cybersecurity steps, and the easiest in which to cause major real-world harm to large numbers of people.
Well, that and the electricity, like during the winter or like Texas with their extreme heat, I mean, they could take that down and kill a few people, I'm sure, if they wanted.
What was it, that refinery that got hacked where the government was like, well, it's really up to the private business if they're going to pay the ransom or not to unlock their fucking oil refinery. It's like, why don't you do something about it?
I think they got that money back. I don't, maybe that wasn't a security threat. Maybe that wasn't the oil refinery, but they got one of them back. They got almost all of the ransom paid in Bitcoin back.
Crazy. I was just baffled that they were like, I don't know if we'll do anything about it. It's not really our problem. It's like, you're the one that wants to have control of everything with the government. Fucking do something then.
Everyone's so fucking cheap these days. Like, I mean, like, it's not America first at all if we're just letting fucking hackers from Russia and China destroy our systems.
And like gas like doubles in price in the fucking month.
That's ridiculous. I saw $3.31 for regular the other day. I was like, when the fuck did that happen? I get premium, so I'm almost to $4 already. $3.75-ish, $3.80 maybe. I forget what I paid last.
I do like the people pointing out on Twitter the people that were so like pro Biden at the election, and now they're just like bitching about the gas prices. Like, oh my God, who could have seen this coming?
Yeah, you know, it's hard to vote for Trump. I mean, it's just like they're the same person.
I mean, I get it. There's pros and lots of cons for both of them.
Can you imagine if we vote in a libertarian, how crazy things could get? I think I lean more libertarian in all fairness, but there'd be a lot of changes, I think, in the way things are run.
Yeah. I don't know. It's
I'm down to try it because the two-party system's not working. We need a third or fourth that's a major player.
Yes, and somebody who wants less government.
Well, we just don't need the government to be our parents. You know what I mean? Like, There's so many people online. They're like, we've tried it this way or that way for so long. Now we need to make people do it our way. I'm like, what? Oh,
like, fuck you. This is America.
What if people opposite of your view get in power? Like, you know, you're not going to like it if they're forcing you to do this or that. I mean, fucking China had that 2-child rule for so long too. Like, well, what if you want a third, you know, like,
yeah.
Oh, but the climate, you can only have 2 because this and this and this is, you know, saying.
And no girl babies.
Yeah. Fuck, wild. Like, I don't want the government to tell me how to live.
No, they're killing all the Muslims over in China. And, you know, Biden's like, cultural differences. What are you going to do?
Right.
Like, they're just committing casual genocide.
Well, to be fair, we did that in World War II.
We didn't kill the Japanese. We just kind of rounded them up and put them behind barbed wire fences.
Yeah.
It wasn't great.
No biggie. Yeah, don't worry about that. Don't look in our past.
It wasn't great. We got a lot of shit in our past, but it's better now, kind of. Juneteenth is a holiday, so, I mean, we're all good, right?
That gets us through the end of my 2 terms, right?
It's the most important thing. We got rid of Aunt Jemima and Uncle Ben. We got Juneteenth on the calendar.
And the Indian chick off the Land of Lakes butter.
Even though, like, it was designed by a Native American tribe.
Yeah.
To represent them. And
how dare we put anyone but a white person on these products?
It's true. It's 100% true.
Get back in your box.
All the white people got so offended by the Washington football team name that they just said, we're not going to have a name, okay?
Well, some of that was that people, they put the list of names to vote on that they could get, and people would take all the rights to all those names.
That's right. Smart. You go steal the domain names.
So either they're going to wait long enough where people aren't going to remember, but I don't think they'll forget as long as Dan Snyder's still in charge.
I mean, yeah, he's I like how he, like,
I think they paid off all them cheerleaders that they made the personalized videos for him for.
Oh, that's right. He was Me Too'd. Forgot about that.
Yeah, you know.
Or no, well, I think he got out. He wasn't part of it. Like he got away with it. Because he just blamed everybody else around him, and then
played. Well, he did the Trump, you know, third degree of separation. He has a buffer between him and the person that they're telling to make these fucking videos, undercover videos of the chicks changing or being naked, so that, you know, they get in trouble and he doesn't, but he still gets to keep his tape.
He's got a fall guy, like on The Simpsons when Mr. Burns. Found out the inspectors, like the safety inspectors, were coming to the plant, so he put Homer, like he signed over the plant to Homer, so that when the shit hit the fan, Homer would go to jail because he was
right.
He was running the plant.
Yeah, similar to that guy in Dark Knight. He's like, nah, Carmine Falcone is not the head of the mob. I am. That's how you, well, you wrote in your written testimony. I lied then.
This article is pretty long. We'll read a little bit more, but I don't know how much more we'll get into this.
I think we could just refer him to Live Free or Die Now or Live Free or Die Hard.
It's a good movie, although they muffle him saying motherfucker because it's rated PG-13.
You know, anything with Timothy Oliphant is I'm a pretty big fan of, actually.
I did like when he killed a helicopter with a squad car, though.
Yes, that was classic. That was all over the trailers.
I saw that in the theater. It was quite good.
Speaking of Timothy Oliphant, Justified was one of my favorite shows, and you know, he was the sheriff that would he worked for the U.S. Marshals, and he just. Do whatever the fuck you wanted, basically. He was a badass. Wore his cowboy hat. And there was some mobster that was trying to shake him up, and I don't know, he took him down and then popped a bullet out of his gun and then with his hand threw it at the guy's chest, and he's like, next one's coming faster. If you do this or that, I forget what exactly was going on, but
That's funny. Oh my God. Actually, I don't know. Do you want to keep going with this? I mean, there's a whole bunch of stuff about how weak
I
our
mean,
security
it's,
is.
you know, we already gave the Russian and Chinese enough intel on how bad the anything related to the US government or our fucking, you know, normal life is not, you know, it's not secure.
This is basically like a blueprint on how to hack the fucking water
Yeah,
supply.
it's just all these people that don't give a fuck about anything anymore that are in charge of these places, and you know, they got a nice cushy government job, and you know, they don't give a fuck.
Well, I mean, based on what they've said here, it sounds like the problem is they use this fucking
Team viewer.
team viewer. Yeah, like maybe TeamViewer needs to get their shit together, or we need to find a new program to use to secure the water supply.
Well, to be fair, we hacked Iraq's nuclear station. What the hell? You know, it's like their power plant. And they didn't have any internet, or they might have had an intranet, but we put something like 150 miles away that could send a signal in that we could hack their computer. So, to be fair, there is technology out there, and that was fucking almost, you know, 7, 8 years ago now, I think, that we did that.
I think that was
So,
Iran, right? Not Iraq. Because
it was one of the two.
Iraq, they didn't find any WMDs once they went in there after bombing it. Whoopsies.
It must have been Iran, 'cause you know, I think that was kind of how we set up that deal between Obama and their leader or whatever.
Yeah.
But we shut down their nuclear processing or whatever remotely, like from something that's not even online.
I mean, it's okay when the US does it, but when people do it to us, they're asking for trouble.
Another thing the U.S. likes to do is interfere in elections. I just saw a
Oh, yeah.
stat.
Yeah.
And it said we interfered in like 81 elections, and Russia did like 40 or something. Like we doubled up Russia in how many elections we were fucking with. Like, I think we got Macron elected in France, actually.
I think so. I mean, if anybody knows how to rig an election, it's an American.
Yeah, right.
Except for it's impossible to rig our own elections.
Yeah, 100% secure. Trust me.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Believe me, it was the most secure election of all time, but also it was rigged and the least secure election of all time.
Only if I win. It's
My team was in charge of security. I assure you it was the most secure election of all time, but also the Democrats stole the election from me with their cheating. I remember when he tweeted that one time.
nobody would vote against me.
Trump sent out a single tweet where he simultaneously said it was the most secure and least secure election of all
I remember that. I remember
It
that.
was somehow impossible to rig and also the most rigged election.
The only problem I have with them kicking Trump off Twitter is that we can't go back and appreciate. I'm sure there's some sites that logged all his tweets, but you know, you can't just go to at real Donald Trump anymore and look at the fucked up, you know, shit we had to put up with the last 4 years.
Oh
Five,
man.
maybe, if you go back to the campaign.
His comment sections were so fucking like
Oh.
toxic. To use a term that his opponents like talk they were very toxic. Like 'cause
Well,
every
but yeah, both sides. I mean,
like
remember the walls?
everything was a fucking death threat against him. Like, Jesus Christ, dudes. Like for people that preach tolerance, you're pretty intolerant.
Yeah, it was bad. It was bad from both sides, though, really.
It really is, but
They would just, he would tweet just something inconsequential, and people just start arguing about whatever. Like, it wouldn't even be about the tweet half the time.
did
But
like
I'm.
when Barry McConnerton would tweet about his fucking cousin in the military or whatever. He posts a picture of a porn star in a fucking fatigues and about how he died injecting marijuana or something. And people would jump down his throat and like they would bite on it so hard. Anyways, the article here about the water, the supply is in the linked in the show notes. So if you want to read the rest of it, go ahead and check that out. But I think we're going to wrap up the show now. Thanks everybody for listening. Make sure you're subscribed so you don't miss new episodes. Give us a 5-star rating and review if you're on Apple Podcasts. Follow me on Twitter at PositivelyWolf1. Follow Brother Clint at Brother_Clint. And if you want to email the show, you can reach us at positivelywolfie@comcast.net. Thanks again for listening and have a great day.